what we're believing for. But I want to thank you guys for your giving, faithfulness, and praise God. Everybody have an outline this morning. I want to make sure, if you don't have an outline, who needs an outline? Everybody got one? Wow, okay. Everybody got a pen or a pencil? Okay. There's back there if you need some. But anyway, praise the Lord. Summer's just about over, and I don't like it. Shh. Oh, my mercy. My sister says winter's her favorite season. I said, really? She lives in Wisconsin and all the snow, but she said, yeah, that's my favorite season. I said, it's not mine, but it's Joe's. We know it's Joe's, yeah. Praise the Lord. But anyway, man, it went fast. It just seemed like it really went fast. It's just school's beginning to start, and things are beginning to happen, so praise the Lord. Anyway, praise God. We're going to talk a little bit about today. I want to share with you, let go and let God work. Letting his power work beyond us. You know, sometimes we limit the power of God in our lives. And I don't think we intentionally do it. I think sometimes we forget how much greater God is and what God wants to do in our life. But as I was studying this, we're going into the prayer of Paul, but the end verses, the last verses of the verses in chapter 3, Paul is praying a prayer over the church. Now listen, if Paul is praying this prayer, then that means it can happen. I mean, it can increase in our lives. We can have more of God than we've ever dreamed of, but sometimes we limit God and we limit what he can do in our lives by, I don't know, sometimes we can be lazy, lackadaisy about things, but God wants to do some greater things in your life in this new year. He really wants to change things up. He wants to bless you beyond what you could ever dream or imagine, but we're going to see some things here that I think will really help you. So letting his power work beyond us. Ephesians 3:20, let's look at this verse. Ephesians 3:20. And Paul begins to share, he's talking about the power of God, the strength of God in you. And then he gets down to the part of the prayer and he goes in Ephesians 3:20, 21, he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, God can do more than you've ever can think or even ask. Sometimes we ask God for little when God wants you to believe for big. Does that make sense? Sometimes we dream little when God wants you to dream big. And so he says, above that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And he ends his prayer. So I did a little research on a few words, and I looked up the word exceeding. It means, it describes something that is above and way beyond what you could ever dream or imagine. Anything else, way beyond. It depicts an archer who overshoots his goal. Now, that would be me. Now, Gary and Diane, they got crossbows with, and everybody has crossbows now, but before they wouldn't let you use them. And you got your sights on there, so you can zero in and get them pretty good. Me, I've missed quite a few because I don't have a crossbow with sights. But you can. But the word means to way overshoot his goal. He puts so much energy into it that when he pulls back on his bow and releases his arrow, he overshoots, overreaches, surpasses the goal of what he's trying to hit. So this is what exceedingly above. Abundantly. Now, we need to look at Paul, what Paul's talking about. So we'll back up a little bit here, and we'll look at the verses before 20 and 21 of the prayer. It will unfold what this power will do in us and what it gives us. So write this down. Your first point, as we allow supernatural strength to increase in us, it allows us to understand and experience more of God in our life. More power, more God, more God, more power. Amen? So, as we see this, I like this. Refuse to be content with just the knowledge of God, but insist on experiencing His presence, the more of God. People, every day we can experience God's presence. We can be sensitive to more of God by just inviting Him to be a part of our everyday life. Everything that we do on our job as we're driving, but learning to allow His presence to filtrate every area of your life. But let's look at Ephesians 3:18 to 20. Now, we're backing up a little bit what Paul's talking about here. He says, then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to experience more of God. I want to experience the power of God. I want to experience His strength in everything that I do. That when we go through things in our life, people, God just shows up in our life. I want to experience that, more of that. So the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and exclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement. That's the God we serve. How much does God love me? It's endless. I can't measure His love. Now, sometimes we can measure our love because we need God's love to flow through us. Sometimes we don't have that love, and we need God's love to flow through us, greater love. See, God's love is agape love. It's unconditional. There's no conditions on it. God loves you no matter what. You know that God loves people no matter if they make the choice to die and go to hell. He loves them that much. He loves them no matter what. He loves the worst of sinners. He loves that person that's in prison. He loves those people that are so messed up in drugs and addictions in their life. He loves them just as much as He loves me. But see, the benefit that I have as a Christian is that that love can increase in my life more and more. And this is what Paul's praying in the preceding verses. As your spiritual strength increases. And then he goes down, he said, endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the what? Fullness of God. Now I want you to see something here. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. How many have a dream? How many want to see a dream fulfilled? How many may say, I need a dream? Unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. That's a lot in that one verse. You could sit down with that one verse and sit there and read it over and over and speak that over your life, and it would change you. It would change you about God's love. See, when we grow up, people, we grow up maybe in an abusive home, or we've been abused, or what's happened in our life, we sometimes picture God like that. And we, however our father treated us or whatever, we look at God and we think God's the same way because we're that father image. And it's so far from the truth of who God is. That God's love, and Paul's praying, not only that, he's praying that you would understand that love that reaches way beyond our imagination, whatever we could ever think or dream. Not only that love, people, but whatever God's desire for your life is. God wants to meet that. He wants to do something in that. God wants you to understand and experience how much he loves you this morning and how much his love, a revelation of his love, can change your lives. And see, what happens is when we fail God and we mess up and we make wrong decisions, then we think that God is mad at us and that his love has backed off on us because we feel so filthy, shameful. And we judge that by thinking that's who God is, when it's the farthest thing from the truth. If we really would understand and have a revelation of who God is and how much his love is, there's so much power in that. It will change your life. That all we would want to do is be pleasing to the Lord. How can I please you more, God? How can I please you more? And Paul is beginning to really look at this and how much his love is and how it can change your life. He's saying that having the fullness of God himself in us is because of the love of God that flows in us. It's the love of God. God is love, and his love is his fullness, who he is in us. So when we begin to allow God's love to just penetrate our hearts, see, when we became born again, the love of God, the Bible says in Romans, was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love is there. But we have put so many blankets on that love that we've questioned God. We looked at God and said, how could God ever love me? How could God ever, the way I have displeased him, how I've messed up, how could God ever love me? See, God's love is agape. There's no conditions on that love. Unconditionally, no matter what, he's going to love you all the way through eternity. He's going to love you. Now, Paul talks about that, what he's talking about in the previous verses, but how much more can we use this in every area of our life? Let's look at something here. I want you to see 1 John 4:16. It says, we have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love he has for us. God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression into us. Listen, the more relationship we have with God, the more his love is matured in me. The more relationship that I allow with God, the more the love is going to be matured in me. Now, when his love is matured in us, it drives out all the fear. Because the Bible says fear has torment. Fear is the opposite of faith. But it says it'll drive all that fear out of our lives when love is matured in us. Which there's torment in fear. That living beyond our natural realm, the spiritual realm of God, we begin to see way beyond the natural into the spiritual realm of God. So this morning, people, we pray that we will get a revelation of who God is and the love of God and how it can change us from glory to glory. There's times I said, Lord, I love you too much to make that choice. Do we love God enough to make the right choices? Do we love him enough to say, I don't want to hurt you? I want to please you? And therefore, Lord, I love you so much that I refuse to do what everybody else wants me to do. You see what I'm saying? So love compels us to walk and to live our lives pleasing to the Lord. Now write this down in the second point here. It says God's desire is to give you everything in abundance. Everybody say abundance. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Amen. That's what God wants to do, is give you that overflowing life. How many know we have an enemy? And the enemy is a liar. Let's look at John 10:10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Why don't we live that abundant life? Why do we allow the enemy to rip us off? Why do we allow ourselves to fall short of the greatest thing that God has for us? That's something that'll challenge our thinking. Why? Could it be me? Could it be what I'm doing? Could it be something I'm not doing? It could be anything. But God wants you to have that abundant life that he's given you. Now, let's look at this. What does the abundant life look like? First of all, we're going to look at two interesting words, life and abundantly. You can write this in here. The word life comes from the Greek word zoe. You know what zoe means? The God kind of life. So when we invited Jesus into our lives, God came into our life. He is the God of my life in your life. It means the absolute fullness of life. The fullness of life. The word abundantly used in the biblical account is another word that's perissus, which means over and above, more than necessary, superadded. Now, this is the kind of life that God wants you and I to have. Well, Pastor, man, I'm not living that. Well, sometimes I'm not either like I want to. I want to have more of Jesus every day, and all of us do. See, God wants us to enjoy eternal life, supernatural life, over and above, more than necessary, an exceedingly normal measure, way beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. Most people demote eternal life to some future experience when, in fact, believers are called to enjoy supernatural life here and now. I don't have to wait to get to heaven, but I can live his life here now, that abundant life. You don't have to wait till you die to experience eternal life. Eternal life is here and now. We just go into a better place after we leave this place. God doesn't desire for us to barely get along while we wait for heaven. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. Jesus said that. I didn't say it. He did. So that means when Paul was praying this prayer, he was praying the prayer that we could have more and above and beyond in the strength of God to love and for God to mature the love in us and to have his power in us and to be able to change things from glory to glory. The question is, how do we enjoy this abundant life? Again, Paul in his epistle to the Ephesians wrote, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." The phrase exceedingly abundantly is the same term Jesus used to describe the life he came to give us. Now, the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to ruin lives. And there's a lot of ruined lives around us. We got family members that need God to just come in and take charge of their life if they're willing to let that. We got young people now dying of overdoses of heroin because it's a new heroin. Things have changed in that. And they're dying of that stuff way before when God has a plan and a destiny for their life. And more, I had a teacher come up to me and at the Elsie Derry Days, sat down with Candy and I, and she said, "I'm really concerned because there's more people that are going to commit suicide before school starts." And we're finding more and more people are committing suicide, not just young people, but older people, just giving up on life when Jesus says that they could have his life and have it more abundantly. They're being ripped off by the enemy. And it saddens me. It saddens me. I do not like to do funerals for people that have committed suicide or have overdosed. I don't like it because they've been ripped off of what God has for them. And God has more for them than we could ever dream or imagine. God has so much to offer. God desires for us to live above circumstances. He desires for us to live above pain. He desires for live above fear, sickness, and rejection, and any other limitation presented to us in this realm, or anything the devil can throw at us. Do you know what Jesus said? He said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. And he destroyed the works of the devil when he went to the cross. He laid down his life and he died for us. He destroyed the enemy right there at the cross when he rose again and resurrected into greater power. And we'll talk about that. But that's what he came to do, to destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Sickness, disease, poverty, hate, murder, killing, all these things on the planet that we live. And yet all this stuff can be going on around us, and God says that you can live life more abundantly on the earth. Wow. That means sometimes we get so caught up what's going on in the world that we forget to caught up what God is doing. We got to get caught up what God is doing. And like I said before, I don't watch the news. I never watch the news anymore. I'm not against people watching the news, but it's so negative. Everything's negative. You want to watch news, watch 700 Club or somebody else or someone that's positive about what's really going on in the world. Because it just drags you down and it gets you in, it distracts you and it gets you away from your plan and the purpose and the destiny that God has called you. And that's living above and beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. And that's what God can give us. I'm not saying, people, we live in a utopia and nothing ever goes wrong in our lives. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have temptations. We're going to have all these things come against us. But what I'm saying is the power that raised Jesus lives inside of you will put you over and beyond that. I'll tell you what, you'll go through it stronger than anybody else that doesn't have God. And that's the greatest peace that we have, knowing that God is with us. I want you to write this second point, or a third point, I think. One of them. Oh, yeah, mine says two. All right. God wants us to experience an overcoming life, a life of true victory. That's what God wants. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm dealing with. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all been through it. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? We're going to trust Jesus. How much of his power are you allowing to work for you to achieve living above and beyond everything that comes against your life? How much of his power are you allowing to achieve your dreams, your goals, or your desires? How much? Do we quit? Do we fall short? Do we say, well, it's just not worth it because it ain't going to happen? If we live like that, we never live that abundant or above and beyond what we've been always. See, people are satisfied to stay to the status quo and be just like, well, I don't care. As long as I have this, 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 I'm okay. No. God wants more for your life so that even you can share that or you can serve others and you can do something good for the kingdom of God. And sometimes you have to make the choices of what's more important in life. And when you look at this, do you know what the key is to all these things? The key is found in the phrases, according to the power that works in me. If I'm not allowing God to flow and work in my life, then I'm not changing from glory to glory like I should. But if I'm allowing God to say, Lord, you know what? I need you to be God in my life. I need you to change me. I need you to allow your Holy Spirit to rise up within me to do what you called me to do. And sometimes it's not always that easy. Sometimes the choices we make are very painful. But they're going to be good in the end because of the God being God in your life. I was sharing this morning. I've shared this before. I made the choice to give my life to Jesus, but there was a big cost in that. When I was sharing in the class this morning, I had to give up relationships that were pulling me down. I had to give up relationships with friends that were going to drag me down, so I had to change it up. And that's not easy to do when you've had relationships and friendships with these people for years, and all of a sudden you're going to change it up. But I knew that if I didn't make the choice, it was going to cost me more by not doing it. So I remember when I was in high school, and I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, that I decided to hang around the Christians. And I remember picking up my tray, and I'm in the cafeteria, and I'm walking in. It's a new day. Audie Clareman gave his life to the Lord, and he's serving God now. He's not at the kegs. He's not at the parties anymore. He's got to change it up. And don't think that that bothered me, that I couldn't go and do those things. It was driving me up the wall. Temptation was strong. And I remember walking into the cafeteria, and all my friends are this planning the next party, and I'm walking past them. They're looking at me why I'm not sitting with them. And I'm going over to this table where all the Christians are, and I sat down, and they're looking at me. What are you doing at this table? I was fighting for my life because I said, God, it's either all the way or none. And I remember struggling every day of the temptation so much to go back to what I used to be. But see, God's greater. The grace is stronger. See, grace is growing. Instead of going and doing things with my friends and going out and smoking weed with the friends, you know what I did? I went home and I went into my bedroom and I went up in my bunk and I sat there and I read the Bible endlessly. I read it and I read it and I read it and I read it. And I kept going through it. And the more I read, the more I cried. And the more I cried, the more I read. And I found out what Jesus did for me, and I just started falling in love with Jesus, and I knew that God loved me. And I would leave there, and I'd go back to the high school, and I'd stand before I'd go in there and say, okay, Lord, I'm going into this den of iniquity. And I'd walk into the high school, but you know what? I started winning my friends to Jesus. Well, I'm not coming to your side, so you're coming to my side. So I remember, and I was sharing this morning, I remember when I was out for track and I started running and getting myself in shape for a little bit before. I think it was even football or something. I don't know. But I was out running and I was jogging. But I would leave the high school and I would jog a certain route and then come back to the high school. But as I was going, there was this little Methodist church. I would run in there, and I could just feel the tugging of the devil. I could feel the tugging of the world. I could feel all this tugging on me, pulling me back to go back. And you miss this. You miss all this. You miss your friends. You miss all this. And it's just driving me up a wall. And I'd run into this little place, and they had this little chapel in the church. And the door was open, and I'd run in there, and I'd go in there, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd say, God, I don't want to go. Now, this is how I said it. God, I don't want to go back to the way I was. And I'd leave there, and I'd cry out to God, and I'd say, God, this is hard. I said, Lord, I want to go back to this. I want to do this, but I don't want to do this. And I'd leave there, and I'd go run the next day. I'd run to the same place. I'd go back into the church, and I did this for over a week. I just kept running to the church. And I remember coming back one day and all that tugging on me. See, the enemy was fighting so hard to get me to just quit and give up and say, this is not for you. And I remember I was down in the basement. I was playing handball with my friend Tim. We were bouncing the ball off the wall, and the ball came back to me, and I grabbed it. And I looked at Tim, and I said, I'll never turn my back on God. I knew right there when I made that declaration that I would serve God with all my heart. There was something that broke within me that said, you passed the test, son. The hardest test was making the choice and fighting the enemy with my strength to do what I called you to do. And after that, I started winning my friends to the Lord. I got into a church, and I got powered up, and I would take my high school friends into the church. I'd say, Pastor Perry, can I have the key to the church? I got all these kids that I want to bring in. We're going to see the movie, Thief in the Night. How many ever seen that movie, Thief in the Night? Oh, my, that's an old movie. But it was about the rapture and the Christians disappearing. And that's what I did. I'd have this projector down in the basement, and I'm playing this movie back to all these kids to scare hell into them or scare hell out of them. And I kept bringing them into the basement of the church, and they got saved. And they started coming to church. And I'd say, well, let's go show it again. Bring some more. And started winning people to the Lord. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go to Bible college. You're going to Bible college. And that's another whole story. But see, God's power kept me. See, let me say this. There's people that get saved with hellfire and brimstone. See, sometimes that'll get you to God, but it's love that keeps you to God. Isn't that the truth? It's the love of God that keeps you. See, I heard this. I heard from Dave Wilkerson, and it was a very strong message. I was afraid I was be lost for eternity. But see, after that, it was the love of God that kept me. It's the love of God that keeps you doing what you know you need to do for Him. Amen? It's the love of God. So the word power is a Greek word called dunamis. That's where you get the word dynamite, which describes strength or ability to be capable. Strength or ability. It's used to depict the assembled forces of an army whose combined strength enabled them to achieve unrivaled victories. These troops were so strong that they simply could not be resisted. That's a picture of who God wants us to be. Can I say this? That's a picture of who you are already in Christ. Amen. Not only being, but who you are in Him. Paul quotes this power in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. Let's look at this. Verse 19, what is the exceedingly greatness of His power toward us who what? Believe, okay? According to the working of His mighty power. See, God's power is measureless, but we limit God's power. So according to how much I'm going to allow God to work in me is according to how much power God will flow through me. Amen? I cut God short. I know I do. And God says, I want you to have more of me. And to have more of me, I want more relationship with you. I want more relationship. So verse 20 says, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Now I looked up the word greatness, power that is boundless, immense. Greatness of power, it's boundless, it's immense, it's limitless, it's measureless and vast. One could say that it is so mighty that it is simply beyond human ability to measure. That means, people, that when our ability is not there anymore, it's God's ability in us that takes over. Amen? When I can't do it anymore, when you can't do it anymore, that's when we trust that God's ability will do it for us. Because sometimes, have you ever said, God, how am I going to do this? How is this going to happen? How am I going to get my needs met? When I left and graduated and went to Bible college, I didn't have a dime. I had 15 bucks in my pocket. But I heard God say, I want you to go to Bible college. Now, Bismarck was here. He had to drive, go to Jamestown, and he can go to Fargo on Highway 94. But before you, when you get to Jamestown, you go south all the way to the South Dakota border, where it's Aberdeen's just below that, was where the Bible college was. They bought this Bible college for a dollar. just somebody to take it over, and it became Trinity Bible Institute. We were on quarter systems. So I remember I didn't even have a car. And so I asked my brother, Rodney, which was he had a senior year to go through. And my dad got mad, and he basically, I left the house, and I lived with a friend. That's where I learned to paint. And I got into painting, wall covering, and all this stuff because I learned that summer through working for a paint crew, a friend that I went to high school with. But I'm waiting for school to start. And so I'm painting, and finally I left there, and I said, Rodney, will you and a friend of Mike, I said, will you guys give me a ride down to Bible college? He said, yeah, we'll drop you off. I mean, I had the clothes in a little duffel bag, and I had a sleeping bag. And I remember driving down there, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I must have not even heard God. I must have missed it. It was kind of like the Israelites where they want to go back to Egypt where the leeks and garlics and the onions where they had it so good. And I'm thinking about it. I'm going, my dad wants me to go to any college he'll pay for. And now I'm going to a college that he said he wants nothing to do with. And I'm driving and he drops me off in the corner. I've never been to this school, never been to Allendale. And he drops me off in the corner and said, love you, brother. I said, you guys are gone already? And so I go and I talk to somebody, and they said, well, the guys are working. I was going early to work in the fields harvesting muskmelons and watermelons. And it was about 2 weeks before school started. And anyway, I go there, and I go into this house, and all the guys are staying in one of the houses that have a bunch of different rooms to stay in. And I remember going there. They were all gone to town. I was the only one there. And I remember sitting in the dark that night. It was cold. In North Dakota, it gets cold. And I had this sleeping bag, and I was sitting there shivering, and I said, God, why am I here? What am I doing? And I began to cry, and I said, Lord, I know that I want to serve you, but did I miss God? Lord, I could go to any college. I could have it paid for. I don't have money to buy food. I had 15 bucks to eat with, and that was all I had. I knew nobody, but I knew God said go. So I'm sitting there, and everybody came that night, all the guys, hey, brother, and they're throwing stuff on me. See, I'm a new Christian. I don't understand all this. I don't understand this, brother. I don't understand hugging. I don't understand any of that stuff, but I learned. I didn't even know how to pray. Raised Catholic boy, you know, that's all I knew. And so I'm sitting there, and they're just shaking my hand, giving me hugs, and I'm going like this, wow, this is weird. And somebody said, well, you can work there, or you can work in the dorm room, cleaning hallways. And so I began to work cleaning hallways, and I remember taking, you know, those big buffer, floor buffers, and I grabbed that one time, and it's going, bing, bing, on the side of the registers all the way down. He said, no, I'll show you how to do it. But I'm cleaning hallways, and I'm praying, said, Lord, I'm hungry. I don't have any money to eat. And all of a sudden, the guy I'm working for, hey, he goes, Adi, hey, would you like to come over to my wife for cooking supper tonight? Would you like to come over? I said, yeah, I'd love to. Little by little, God started opening doors. And I thought, how am I going to go to Bible school when I don't have a dime for the first quarter? Now, you get this. College back then was pretty cheap at this place. I could go to one quarter of Bible college for $500. It'd pay for my books, room and board, and everything. Now I looked at it, Trinity Bible College, it's like $20,000 to go to school there. So I'm praying. I said, Lord, you have me here, so how am I going to go through my first quarter? And I'm sitting there cleaning the hallways, and all of a sudden, Dean of Students, Brother Hessler, comes in. He goes, Adi, I forgot to tell you. Somebody sent some money for your first quarter of Bible school. It's all paid for. And I knew then that God had called me, that I had to finish this out because God was moving. Went through 4 years, finished college, paid 11 years to finish my loan, but I paid my loan and finished college. What am I saying? God can do way above and beyond what we could imagine or dream if we'll just trust him. Now, if you read this in the Passion, verse 19 says, my prayer for you is that every moment you will experience the measureless power of God made available to you through what? Faith. Can you trust him for it? Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. This is the explosive and mighty resurrection power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead, exalted him in a place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. That's powerful. When we talk about exceedingly greatness of his power, people, we're talking about how overshooting and irresistible the power that works in us to believe. This power is so mighty that it can't be measured or resisted. There is simply no human power in existence that compares to this power. None. The Apostle Paul went on to say that it is the same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in you and me. Paul was making it forcefully clear that no power has ever equaled or compared to the power that was required for Christ's resurrection. It was the greatest manifestation of power that the universe has ever witnessed. It literally seized Jesus from death's grip, raised him back into his body, and then continued to lift him up through demonic principalities, powers, might, and dominion until he was seated at the throne of the right hand of his Father in heaven. That's what that power does. That's the power that Jesus is saying that we could live abundantly his life, because that's the power of his life in us. No power in hell or on earth and no principality or power in the heavens was able to resist the demonstration of the power and the energy that was divine in Jesus being raised from the dead. If we want to enjoy the abundant life, people, we've got to place a demand on it by faith according to the power of the Spirit that's already in us. We have to make a demand on this. The greater the demand, the greater the supply. If we're not making a demand on that relationship with God, then we're losing the supply of the power that God has for us that wants to flow through us to do what he's called us to do. If we want to enjoy that, we have to make a greater demand and a greater supply when we make a greater demand on it. What a thrill to realize that God doesn't just put a small dose of power inside each of us who believe. He has placed the power of his son's resurrection in us. It is the power that utterly eclipses any other power in the universe. Any other power. It is full, boundless, measureless energy. So mighty that the evil power can resist it. And to think God has made it available to us who believe. It's for you and I. It's in us. But we haven't allowed ourselves to tap into what God can do. And God wants us to live above and beyond, people, what we're dealing with. And sometimes it's making the right choices. Sometimes it's making the choices that cost us. But when we do that, you'll begin to see that the power of God more and more strengthen you, give you the strength you need to be all that you can be. Receive this morning. I want to close with this. Receive and understand that it is his will for us to live the abundant life for which Jesus died to give us. See, I see so many people, they're living that same cycle over and over, generational curse after generational curse after generational curse. They're living the same cycle over and over, and it seems like they can't break that cycle. It can be broken. I broke it. I broke the cycle of alcohol in my home. Alcoholics. Cancer. All this different stuff. I chose to break that. And you can break the cycle that keeps going and going. It's like it never stops. Only we can break that with our mouths, declaring that, Lord, you took the curse upon yourself and you broke that curse. Therefore, Lord, I'm breaking this curse that's been handed down from generation to generation to generation, and I choose to break that curse off of my life. And we break it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just because my father lived that way doesn't mean I have to live that way. Just because Aunt Betty or Aunt somebody lived that way doesn't mean I have to follow in the footsteps. Just because mom was like that doesn't mean I have to be like that. But when we make the choices to live above and beyond in a higher plane by the power that's already working in us, it will change it up. It will change it up. But it was my choice. It was my choice. We got to recognize that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to impart his eternal life in us here and now. We don't have to wait to enjoy the benefits of eternity because he has called us to walk in the supernatural every day of our life. We need to declare that his supernatural power, people, is at work inside of me. God is continually working in us. He hasn't stopped. He's changing us. How much will we allow him to change us? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly in our life through the power of his word operating in our inner being. We can declare that sickness, poverty, disease, and oppression are broken by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We can declare that we never live beneath the abundant life that Jesus provided for us. I refuse to live the way I used to live. I don't want to go back there. And you know what? I'll never go back. You know why? Because that's gone. That's gone. It's not even tempting to me. Because when you taste the heavenly and you taste the power and you taste the glory and you taste Jesus, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go back to that. You don't want to make the choices that you used to make that will cost you because of the glory and the power that works within you. We're no longer limited by our circumstances or problems, but we operate in an unlimited power of God's word. We live a victorious life, and there's no forces in heaven or in earth greater than the Holy Spirit living in us, the power of God. We will not allow depression. We will not allow fear. We'll never be bound again to that. We declare that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and quickens every area of our life. In Jesus' name. And it says that he quickens your mortal bodies. When you struggle with areas in your life, in your thinking, in your emotions, in your mortal, God wants you to learn to go beyond that. Because so-and-so lives that way doesn't mean I have to live that way because I can live God's life more abundantly. Amen? Because he lives inside of you and me. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. People, this morning, allow his power to work in you by growing in it, drawing near to the Lord in his word. Study his word, examine it, live it, breathe his word, declare it. And remember that when you fall into a need or into difficult times, God's power is yours to have through faith. It's there. He can and will do exceedingly abundantly above anything for which you could even pray or think. That's our God. To bless you, he wants to nourish you, cherish you, and he wants to love you by the power that is in you. How much will we allow? How much will we allow the Spirit to work in us? How much will we allow God's abundant life? It's limitless what God can do. My mind is finite, but God's thinking is so far beyond ours. The enemy's power is limited, but God's power is without limit. Amen? So this morning, I want to challenge you that you can live the abundant life. You don't have to settle for status quo. You don't have to settle for what the enemy's doing in somebody else's life or in your life. You don't have to settle for that. But you can rise up above that and say, Lord, you live in me, and greater are you in me. So therefore, Lord, it's your power, it's your glory, and it's your presence in me that makes all the difference. I have the strength through Jesus to say no. I have the strength through Jesus to say yes and to be delivered, to be set free by the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in you and I. That's a lot of power. So why am I living below my means? Why am I allowing the enemy to defeat me? Why am I giving in? Why am I not victorious? Because we need to choose to say that God is greater. We need to choose to allow God's presence in His Spirit. We need to choose to get His Word in us. We need to choose to pray. We need to choose to build that relationship with Him, because the more demand I place on God, the more demand that I have on the supply of His power. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Keith, you want to come and just pray a little bit? Joe, Holly, if you want to. God bless you guys. You have a song for us? Praise the Lord. Before we pray, people, I want to challenge you this morning that you're not a defeated people, but you're a victorious people. You have the victory, and the victory is already yours. Outside of Jesus, but inside, full of power, full of glory. But I want to challenge you this morning to tap into that. Starting a new day, you're saying, Lord, starting a new day, I don't want to live the way I'm living. I don't want to give in to the things I'm giving into. I don't want to just... I want to trust you. I want to trust that you're going to take care of this situation I'm praying for. I want to trust you that you're the healer and you're the deliverer. I want to trust you in that, because greater are you in me than he that's in the world. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're feeling, what you're going through, but God does. And all he's asking you is to surrender him and say, Lord, I need you to show up in me more than ever before. You live inside me. I'm going to rise above this. Father, we thank you.
On bended knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy down. lifting holy hands to you. As I pledge my love anew, I worship you in spirit, I worship you in truth.
Morning, people. I want you just to bow your heads just for a second. If you're here this morning, say, you know what, Pastor, I maybe don't know the Lord. Maybe you do. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Him to allow Him to be all that He can be in your life. But this morning you're saying, I need God and I need more of God in my life to change me. You can be a Christian, you may not be one. But this is a good day to make Jesus the Lord of your life and to have Him come into your heart. But maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make that decision to ask Christ. You know, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Maybe it's time that you surrender that part of your life to Him and let God be the God that He can be in your life, in that area, in every area. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, pray for me, I just want to see your hands. Put it up real quick because I want to pray that God, if you don't know the Lord, this is a good time to say yes to Him. If you do, maybe there's an area that you just need to surrender, and you need prayer. Anybody? Okay. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank You for the privilege and honor of knowing You. And Father, this morning, I pray for each and every person in this place. I pray for the strength, the resurrected power, and the glory of the Holy Spirit to just flow through them, infuse them even now. Even in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the pain and turmoil that they may be dealing with. Father, I pray that Your presence will saturate them and will fill their houses, fill their homes to overflowing. This morning, Father, we come to You and we depend on You, Holy Spirit, for that strength, for that power, to show us and to reveal revelation of Your love and Your mercy and Your grace You have towards us. Father, may we grow in that love. May we extend that love to others. May we let it flow through us. Even, Lord, sometimes when that love seems to be so squelched, we ask You to resurrect that in us. Father, show us Your love. Show us Your love. Show us Your power. And show us Your glory. And Father, we put our trust in You and we believe and we trust You for that abundant life, for the life of Christ to live in us and through us with His power and with His glory to change us from glory to glory. We depend upon that this morning. Father, let Your word dwell in us richly. Let Your word be poured into our lives. May we read it, devour it. May we pray. And may we take a demand on that to have more of Your glory in us. We thank You for that. This morning, Lord, I thank You for this people and I speak blessing on them. I speak Your glory. I speak Your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we leave,